Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 54, and I am Libya, your host, and we have returning guests.
Marcia from Los Angeles.
Tom, also from Los Angeles.
Josh, also from Los Angeles.
Peter from Los Angeles.
Wow, that seems so plain and mundane this
week.
We're
all from Los Angeles, though. That makes us awesome.
We have nice weather. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, except for today.
Well, yeah. All right.
It's nice
today. I'm sorry, did you see snow outside?
Hey, there's no nuclear fallout.
Oh, wow. Okay, then. On with the news.
I'm looking for the lightning bolt. Okay, it's safe. Go ahead.
The first thing I want to talk about is, Peter brought to my attention, the Wonder Woman costume, which I promptly just started laughing hysterically at. So I just, for all of you who have not seen the picture, run out and look at it. So,
and then run away from your computer.
And then run to the restroom to, call your friends Ralph and Earl.
It is awful. And I think part of the costume issue is the material.
That's the biggest part.
Yeah, if they had used a different material, the color scheme is fine, the design is fine.
Leather.
Yeah. I was like, what is that? It's some shiny.
It's like patent leather polyvinyl chloride.
Yeah, pleather.
Hell, jeggings would have been a better choice.
If a dragon breathed on her, it would melt to her skin and cause burns.
Well, my thing is, since it's a television show, they can get feedback from the fans who laugh hysterically at it, and then they can change the outfit.
Oh, they're getting bad. DC Comics shut down comments on their website.
Oh. Ooh.
So, that's never a good sign.
Yeah.
And the shame is, Adrian Palicki looks good in it.
Yeah, she does.
Aside from the god-awful.
Well, I always said Adrian Palicki would make a very good Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
it's just not this Wonder Woman.
That costume is awful. I know when they showed it to her, her reaction was like, seriously?
How much did you pay for your game?
Yeah, the look on her face in the picture was like, okay, just think about the paycheck.
All right, the next...
Where's that Kathy Lee Crosby suit from the 74 telefilm?
Oh, wow.
Where's the next thing I want to talk about is that Netflix has bought the rights to the show House of Cards by David Fincher. And it is, what's impressive is that they bought it out from under both HBO and AMC, and they bought it for, what, two seasons or something like that?
26 episodes.
Two seasons, yeah.
So they did that in response to the fact that all the studios have basically said that we're going to keep Prime programming away from Netflix because we want our people to buy our DVDs.
Also, Amazon.com is going to try to give Netflix a run for the money with the streaming.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of other places that are giving them runs, but they're not worried about, I don't think they're really worried about other things, other companies. Not really, not for this buy. They're doing this in direct response to the studios saying, we're not going to give you our quality shows. We're only going to give you our crappy shows. And they basically told them that straight up. So Netflix was like, fine, we'll buy our own quality shows.
Because they said that they were having a problem getting people to buy or to actually rent the DVDs from a regular store because people could just
stream it from Netflix for free.
And that's what I do. I know I do
absolutely.
That too.
Absolutely. And they lost a huge amount of money in DVD sales. Well, I'm sorry. But if your show is crap, I'm not going to buy the DVD. If I see it on Netflix or online or something, and I think it's wonderful, I'll buy the DVD.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah. It's better to sample it. But anyway.
Yeah.
We're entering this brave new world of video on demand.
Speaking as a person who actually makes DVDs for a TV network for a living, I'm terrified.
Well, what are you terrified of? The Netflix going around or of the studios pulling back?
The studios pulling back. Of course, the studio I work for just did a big deal with Netflix, putting some pretty good stuff on there. So
are you allowed to say?
I was about to say, can you tell us?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can you tell us?
I like my job. I want to keep
it. Can you tell us the initials of the network?
No.
The only thing I will say is that considering who and all, I was surprised yet pleased that somebody at that network actually understands the wave of the future. Where he is, where he works.
Yeah, talking to Coach. All right, let's
move on. Marcia knows where I work.
Actually, I do too, but I'm going to move on.
Okay.
The next piece of news I have is that Being Human US was renewed for a second season.
Sigh.
Community, Parks and Recreation, and The Office were also renewed.
Yay.
Okay, Community and Parks and Rec, yay.
Yay. Yeah, Office.
Office, nah. Being human, okay.
We'll see, because I've been hearing better things about the show so far. We'll save it for the discussion.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm cautiously not angry about it.
Cautiously.
Wow. That's a new one.
And I'll throw something out, even though it's a little bit of the web, but there's a convention or trade show called SXSW.
South by Southwest.
And they talked about how last year Felicia Day was a volunteer. And this year she was the keynote speaker.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because she rocks her socks.
Go girl.
Because Felicia Day is made of awesome.
Yes, we all know this. Now we're going to talk about the shows. First up this week is House. And it follows last week's fantastic musical episode. This is the fallout of House's deep depression, back on Vicodin, drug addict, drug addled, suicidal House.
I was disappointed because last time he was that way, he could pick up real well of what was wrong with the patient. He didn't this time.
Well, he was.
He's also got the depression.
Normally, when he was on Vicodin, he's still worried about the puzzle. But this week, they basically said his issue is he's because he's depressed. Everything feels flat, so he's not excited about the puzzle. He's not thinking about the patient. He's just basically like. What he's trying to find something to grab onto because he's just kind of floating away. And I really did think that Wilson had cause to be concerned when he's like, oh, get me a gun. He's like, yeah, let's not get you a gun.
Yeah.
You know, like he really, and I don't think he would have cared if he had fallen in that pool and died. I don't think he would have cared.
No, he wouldn't have cared. But like at the same time, I sort of feel like the whole gag with the bow and arrow was pretty awesome.
Especially when you're on the phone and they're like, what's going on? You know, you just
it's
hear...
like, you are going to kill this woman. Like, what are you doing, House?
All that was pretty good. But the fact that he basically cleared out his bank account and put it in a bowl in the middle of the hotel room and was just spending it. Just like... And
spending it on what every man would really like. Lots of hookers.
Yeah. But the thing is, that also was a clue that he was thinking about killing himself. That's what people do when they want to kill themselves is they clean out their bank accounts, they give away all their stuff, and then they kill themselves.
Yeah.
And he was really pretty much on that route. And I was kind of angry at Cuddy. I understood, but I was angry. Because
I agree because I was sort of like with Wilson when he started like calling her out on it.
Yeah, because he basically she's known House for a decade or more.
They went to school.
They went to school together.
Yeah,
she knows what he's like. He hasn't made it a secret. She knows everything about him, and now all of a sudden she's like, I can't deal with it."
That's the thing is that he didn't lie to her.
No,
and he didn't technically do anything wrong. But she realized even before, at the beginning of last week's episode, she doesn't trust him enough. Yeah. So then why start a relationship with somebody you know is fragile?
Right.
She and knew then he was... Home aside.
She and, knew he... And basically caused more damage.
Yes. Right. And like, that's why I felt like Wilson really sort of, like, hit it home when he started yelling at her about it. It's like, you knew House. You knew this was going
to
happen.
Yeah. It wasn't like she was a stranger to the situation.
Yeah. Like... You are not justified in anything right now.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, it's my fault. I was like, yeah, no kidding.
Then do something about it.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I have to say, the first time you see them interact again, House is obviously hurt, but he's back on form with being... Because he's basically back... Because when they were together, he was very careful with Cuddy. He was like, okay, are you going to be mad at me? I don't want to do anything that makes you mad at me. And so he was very careful. And now he's just like, whatever.
Well, because she's already hurt him.
Yeah.
Why be careful? He was careful and she still kicked him out the door.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, they basically established that he's back to pre-dating Cuddy attitude towards her. But I think that's still going to... I think he's still really angry and I think that's going to come out in very unhealthy ways.
I think that's going to be the finale.
They're going to be fun ways, though. Healthy ways, but fun in the script.
I don't think it's going to be healthy.
No, it's going to be fun. No, not healthy, but it's going to be unhealthy fun leading up to the finale, and then the season finale is going to be the explosion.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Sigh. The thing that's weird is I really liked House and Cuddy together. I knew they were doomed. I knew it intellectually that they were doomed.
Yeah.
But then when it happened, I was like, oh. So, anyway. All right, moving on. Chuck.
Good old Chuck. It was a better episode than most of recent, but I was still kind of...
I thought that it was pretty cool. They called it the A-Team. And I like the fact that you've got this whole other team that's working out a castle that's going on all these missions. And
another castle.
Same castle. They're just like a castle adjacent. They just have their own entrance or whatever. And then they've got two people who have the Intersect now. And so they're like, oh, we don't need Bartowski and everything. And it's
God, you miss a week. Look what happens.
It felt like the whole episode was rushed in terms of other people having the Intersect. That would have been a great reveal for at least a two-parter. And we find that out like a third of the way through this episode. I don't know. I just think Chuck's lost his way.
I thought it was a very good episode, though.
Are the writers bored? Are the writers new writers and therefore...
No. The problem is the show was supposed to end 3 or 4 episodes ago, so they had a finale.
The show was supposed to end with episode 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why that episode felt like a series finale.
And then they got an episode pickup.
Yeah. So now they're trying to figure out what to do for these episodes, and that's where we're... But I have to say, I think this episode... is they've kind of like, because the other ones kind of felt like they were floundering. This one really felt like a good episode to me, especially because you had all the relationships
the
working.
Juice box. Seriously,
that was cute.
I thought it was.
I thought it was cute. I was like, oh, Casey gave him a juice box.
It's basically, I forget which instructor said, or maybe it's Stanislavski. If there's a gun on the wall in Act One, you better file it.
Yes, and if there's a juice box?
If there's a juice box in your hero's pocket, you better use it somehow before the end of the
show.
And
he uses it to defuse a bomb. It's awesome.
I thought that was just silly. I don't care.
What else are you
it's
gonna
got
use
enough
a juice
sodium.
Box for?
Apple juice and seawater don't have the close amount.
Oh, I know that intellectually,
come on.
But it was still awesome to do. I like the fact, because basically what they're showing is just having the Intersect knowledge does not make Chuck.
No, just having spies with Intersect does not make Chuck obsolete.
Right, because he has intuition, and it was a good.
He's a nerd, baby.
And he can figure stuff.
He was a nerd. I don't know what he is now.
What's the problem?
He's not a nerd.
Chuck and Sarah got together too soon.
They kept thinking
they were getting canceled.
I know, but they needed to come up with another obstacle. I thought they were supposed to be bringing her dad back soon or something. I mean, something.
I don't care about their relationship, fine.
Think the relationship is what screwed it up. And then they had to figure out all these other things. I miss Chuck of season one. Chuck of season one was cool. Chuck was a nerd. He or a geek. And he was what every guy wanted to be.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now he's just another freaking spy.
Yeah,
which is why
he's a spy with a supercomputer in his brain.
It's so fun.
And
he's
lovably quirky.
I like this episode of Chuck. I don't care what you guys say.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
But I do agree with you in general. Generally, I agree with you, but I like this one.
I can almost guarantee that this will be the last reprieve for Chuck, because the new guy's coming in the NBC, and it's cleaning the house.
Well, the ratings are ridiculous.
And the ratings are terrible.
Why is
this still on? Because we got nothing else.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we're going to talk about Glee. Peter, you talk first. You haven't spoken.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was watching Glee with my wife, and I was really happy that in this episode, Kurt finally kind of gets a boyfriend with the guy who's the head of the world.
Lane.
And Julia was just so over the warblers in general that she's just like, I just don't care anymore. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess the warblers thing has kind of run its course, but I was pretty happy. I was like, oh, I'm totally happy for Kurt, you know. On the flip end, you've got Santana, who likes Brittany, and that actually, that subplot, while I feel bad for Santana, that I don't necessarily want to see happen, because I like the guy in the wheelchair. I feel kind of bad for him, and I like Brittany being with him.
Oh, with Artie?
Yeah.
But the actual episode was I think it was regionals, which is the thing they lost at the end of the first season, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
So now they won, and now they're going to go on to nationals.
In New York.
Yeah.
In New York. But I thought it was, I thought it was a good episode. Good, I think in general I liked most of the music and stuff.
What do you think of the original song?
I kind of felt like this was an episode where they haven't used Sue too much recently, and I've been fine with it. But this one, especially because she actually has, she's got a, is it vocal adrenaline that she's
got? Yeah, oral intensity.
Oral intensity. I actually would have liked a little bit more of her. I thought what they used was fine, but this one I kind of felt more of Sue would have been better.
Well, I also thought that when she picked her song and she was like, oh, I've got this all wrapped up, I was like, seriously? That's the song you picked? I was like, it just seems so transparent and so... And so one of the judges was like, oh, it feels like pandering. I was like, that's exactly what it feels like. It doesn't feel like a song you would use for your glee club to show off their talent. It just, it was
and
weird.
Wasn't it the Christian of the judges who said, it's pandering, I won't vote for it?
No, it was the nun.
No, it was the nun. The ultra conservative was like, I love that song!
Yeah, Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin.
But, I think
it just shows that, Sue was really good with the Cheerios, but really, even though she's a good coach and stuff, she's kind of out of her element here.
Yeah,
so that's why she picks a song that is, of course, really pandering.
Which is why
that's
I was like really
do.
Upset that they didn't show any of Sue training oral intensity, because I would have liked to have seen some of
me
that.
Me too.
I
would have liked that
did.
Also.
Yeah.
Based on the facial expressions, which I'm assuming were done on purpose, of oral intensity when the other team won, some of them were smiling.
What does that mean? What are you trying
to say?
Well,
they lost, but they were smiling. They were happy. So I'm wondering if... I don't think Sue did anything. I don't think there was any training, per se. They didn't do anything, really, on their...
Well, she must have... She picked their song.
She had to have done something. I just would have liked to have seen something.
Right.
Because we saw nothing.
So in other words, seeing that she treated them the same... that she treated the Cheerios.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which might be why some of those people were smiling, and maybe there'll be a flashback.
Exactly.
Episode.
I would like to have seen some of that. I don't want a flashback of it. I just would have liked to have seen it in the progression.
Right. I sort of agree with you about the whole Santana thing, except that I'm a little more... I really kind of want to see... All of a sudden, I kind of care about Santana. I never cared about her before.
Me too.
I totally care about Santana, and I feel bad for her, but just because she finally came out and she's being more human doesn't mean that, other relationship that seems to be going well should be destroyed.
Well, Artie's had two girlfriends now.
Yeah.
It's time for him to, go off in the corner and let somebody else play with the toy.
Yeah. And... I love Brittany. She's just so delightfully stupid.
She's so delightfully stupid.
Yeah.
She's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Warblers thing,
I'm over the Warblers.
I love that comment
over the Warblers.
Are they a private school or just a bunch of gay guys? Straight ones. You're just like, I'm sorry, but you would get your ass kicked in my high school.
That's the thing with the Warblers. It's like, they say that, no, they're primarily straight and that really only Kurt and Blaine are the only two gay guys. And
I don't think so.
Well, no, but actually, that was one of my wife's points, which I will steal, which was she feels like, and I'm assuming we're going to deal with this at the end of the season, but remember, the whole original point of this was that Kurt was getting picked on by the closeted football guy.
Right.
And it was getting really bad. So then there's this perfect school where he can go and everyone's there's perfect tolerance and everything. And Julia just thinks it's a big cop-out because she's just like, oh, come on. She's like, it should be he has to deal with getting picked on and stuff. So I think her frustration with the Warblers in general is, it's almost this perfect utopia for,
Right, and then they just sing and dance in the halls. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see your point, but I'm assuming Ryan Murphy is going with it somewhere. I'm assuming we're going
to... Well, he's going to have to...
Anyway.
He's going to have to bring Kurt back to the school because... Having the other separate school is not that interesting anymore. So he's going to have to
bring
them back.
Yeah, because, we don't see anything with Dalton except for the Warblers.
Right.
Right.
So, anyway, moving on.
But it was sweet that at last he did get a kiss. Though
okay.
I'm wondering,
I was happy for, totally. Yes.
Last week or the week before, Blaine went to Kurt's dad to warn him that he had to have
last
a talk
because
he's going to be with the wrong guy the first time and all this. And you get a feeling it might be him. How did he switch so quickly from he he's my friend, and I love you.
Because he sang Blackbird.
Because he sang Blackbird. Literally, well,
yeah,
he sang.
Say that. Yeah. He said that was the moment when he realized there he is, or something like that, right?
Yeah. Wow, the Beatles still two generations down affect people.
It's really logic, Marcia.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely right. I'm so wrong.
All right, we're out of time. We're out of time for Glee. We need to move on. And we want to talk about the finale of V,
okay,
which might actually be the series finale.
I believe Dean Winchester said it best when he said, "Son of a bitch!"
Because I'm sure he's the only one who said that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, I thought that this finale was pretty good. I mean, it ended in a way that I totally want to see the next episode, which is great. But if this is the end, Earth is totally doomed.
Oh, God, yeah.
But of everything that happened, the one thing that they did to make up for everything is they brutally killed Tyler. I am very happy.
Yes.
He died. Brutally killed him. Like, ripped apart. It was
about
awesome.
Wait, who's... Only because I only saw a little of V. Who's Tyler?
The kid that we all hate.
The stupid
only
kid.
They
the
killed son? His...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they killed him. They killed him. They killed him brutally.
Okay, now I'll watch the show.
it's done. Now it's over.
Damn, for that.
Is it the girl from Smallville? Is she the one that kills him?
In a way.
Sort of. Not quite. Kind of.
What do you mean? You can tell me. I mean, people, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this podcast, you're assuming you've watched the show.
Okay. They had another queen egg, which they hatched, and then gave that other queen the same skin as Lisa. So
because
they,
Lisa was now in disfavor and going to be punished because she tried to kill her mother.
Well, they basically sent Lisa down to the dungeon.
Yes.
And so this other Lisa then goes and mates with Tyler and then rips his throat out as soon as she's done.
Oh, it's awesome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of the episode. But then, of course,
how Diana went out was pretty cool.
Okay, Diana was she tries to do a coup from Anna, and she comes, she gathers all her people, and they all kneel before her. I am your queen. This is my message. This is what I'm
going
to do.
We are going to start a brand new era.
Blah 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 blah. Anna comes behind her, sticks her tail, skewers her right through the chest. It was great. So Diana's totally toast.
But I love the line that Anna gives to her daughter. To Lisa, it's like, now
that's how you kill your mother.
That was awesome. That was so awesome. Because Lisa totally tried to kill her mother and failed.
Oh, she couldn't do it.
She totally failed.
Like, all Anna had to do was just shed some crocodile tears, and Lisa was like, okay, I can't do it.
Yeah, and she's like, no, this is how you kill your mother. It was great.
Oh, God, it was so evil. It was awesome.
And then we had the Beastmaster.
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer shows up, and he kidnaps, what's her name?
Erica.
Was he in a line cloth?
No.
Damn, okay.
He was in a suit.
He was in a suit with a goatee, which was weird.
The goatee was odd, yes, but basically...
Dubious morality, I have a goatee. Yeah.
Exactly, actually, that's true.
Running a project incredibly convenient.
Well, yes, because people were complaining.
Always incredibly.
Well, the thing is that people were complaining the V was such a small unit, small thing, and then they went global, and so it looks like they were doing bigger plans, but my complaint was that they weren't taking the time to work through those plans.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, they have this huge government operation that's
going
to be...
That's been going on for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, and I'm like, you guys suck if you've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah. And plus, like, the two guys from the FBI have apparently been tracking Erica this whole time to see if she knew anything, and only now they realize, oh, she knows something.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, come on, how many conversations with the fifth column has she had in her home where they had bugged it?
I know, Mr. Yeah, exactly, Mr. We're the FBI and we're bugging people. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
But the other things I was thinking. Oh, what? Oh,
death.
Ryan freaking got killed.
Ryan,
by his daughter.
Oh,
now that's how you kill your father.
It was a bad day for parents.
It really was.
His little 10-year-old
and kids apparently.
His 10-year-old daughter just snapped his neck. It was awesome.
Oh.
So yeah, they were just killing people left and right in this finale. I was highly amused.
It seems like
and then of course, like the very end, Anna and the little girl Amy bliss
the world. Yes, and the priest got blissed. Oh,
yeah,
I was sad, Father Jack. One other thing. Oh, and the reporter got captured.
Yeah.
He got caught out, so he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Earth is totally screwed right now at the end, but I can't... I want to see how they get out of it.
Even I though, really do, yeah.
Even though I don't have...
reading a graphic novel.
I know.
I don't see it coming back, but oh well.
I'm still crossing my fingers for it.
Thumbs up for the series finale. All right, next show we want to talk about is Justified.
I love this show.
I love it. Even though this episode was like, oh, Winona, no, why? This...
How is it possible that Raylan, who's so smart, gets rid of the smart girl and ends up back with the idiot woman who makes all of us look bad?
Well, I wouldn't have thought Winona was stupid, though. I mean, this
no,
was
Winona's
really...
been actually been kind of smart up until
yeah,
now.
This was the first
I think
really
the
stupid thing.
Highlights have affected her judgment.
I think so.
Because, I mean, if you're first of all, if you're going to steal, steal. You don't just steal one $100 bill.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I was just checking it to see if it was real. Like, no, you
no,
weren't.
You weren't. Come on.
But I love in fine storytelling fashion that you know that even though it looks like the episode's ending, oh, I fixed it. No.
Yeah.
You know it's going to bite her in the butt.
But the thing that's stupid about it, if she were, she's a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
She should know.
I thought she was a clerk.
No, she's
a lawyer.
No,
even though we never see her in court.
We see her in the court lobby.
She should know that they keep track of everything in evidence.
Yeah.
They keep track of serial numbers. I know this, and I'm not a lawyer.
And then poor Raylan goes in and basically commits fraud for her.
And yeah, he goes through, he looks through all the dollar bills to find the one that she stole.
Oops.
And I'm like, and of course he fails at it, but
yeah.
Come on now. Just, it was just, that was so, the only good thing, Boyd.
Yeah.
The Boyd interrogation, that was pretty good.
Oh God, yes.
He was like, I do not know. What you, he's like, if you disrespect Ava one more time, I'm gonna have to come across this table.
And what I love is like the FBI guy was like, okay, I believe we can get him for threatening an officer. And the chief was like, well, I don't know about that. He wasn't very specific. Now, if he had said, say anything about Ava again, and I will beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, that was all pretty good. I like that.
It was fun to watch the interdepartmental anger. You know, you could tell that he was just doing it because he just didn't like the guy in his
car. Yeah.
It wasn't because he liked Boyd, because no one likes Boyd.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I liked the way that the robbers, again, you've got the bad guys being screwed by their own kind.
are we talking about the Boyd one?
I was raised
the bank robbers.
Harlan, and in Harlan, we know the difference.
Between dynamite and a road flare.
Oh my god.
That was so great.
I was like, the thing is when the guy has a little heart attack and they leave him on the ground.
I know
he faked it, but it took me a second to realize he faked it.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that phone call comes, I was like, oh, you turned them in. And then they're like, the car's gone. I was like, oh, he stole the money.
Yeah.
And I was like, brilliant! Because he realized he couldn't work with these guys because they're idiots.
Well,
not just idiots. His nephew is the idiot, but the other guy is dangerous because he never, ever hurt anybody in any of his bank robberies.
Right.
And the other guy shot someone.
Well, and he shot him for no reason.
Yeah.
Right, and threatened the woman. And at that point, he knew he couldn't be with them anymore.
Right.
He didn't know what we knew, which was they were going to get rid of him anyway. Again.
But
yeah.
I love the exposition at the top of the episode. Haven't seen him for about 30 years. Where's he been? Doing 30 years.
Language, the way that they write these scripts is amazing.
Well, you see, what I love about it is just how they have these incredibly wonderful, sort of matter-of-fact, nonchalant discussions between the good guys and the bad guys. Like, that Skype conversation that he's having with them.
Oh, right! He's like, dear, I know you're not at work. Can you put the law enforcement guy on the line?
And then they just have this very matter-of-fact conversation. Like, look, you know you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I know I am, but I'm still going to try.
Have you heard that Elmore Leonard is so inspired by the series and Timothy Oliphant's portrayal, he's actually written more Raylan Givens stories?
Awesome!
Oh, that's pretty good.
So, oh, that's great.
So, he's involved with the show.
I didn't know that. He's like a consulting producer or something like that.
He's an executive producer.
Oh, really? Okay.
I love Oliphant's portrayal, though, because Raylan's smart and he's interesting and he's a good guy with a huge dark streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's a badass.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also need to just mention the old man chase.
That was great! Oh, that was great! Because you got the guy with the oxygen tank.
The other guy who's like twisted his ankle, just like limping after each other, trying to get to a plane that's 20 feet away.
And then the bank robber takes off the oxygen, and you know he can't. He's gonna crawl the ladder. But when the chief gets to him, he takes out his heart medicine. The heart medicine. Just like in an airplane, first he puts the oxygen on the criminal, and then he takes his med and just lays there.
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. He's like, don't make me chase after you. I got a bad ankle.
That was so great.
But I like the fact that Chief let him get away.
Well, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No.
He got him.
I thought the plane took off.
No. Yeah, that was a different plane.
It was a different plane, yeah.
They were both on the ground. Come on. Doing that.
The guy just, like, nearly suffocated to death. You think he's gonna fly a plane?
No, he totally didn't let him get away. Because the guy was like, we can split the money, we can go blah, blah, blah. He was like, yeah, no. He gave him, and then he threw the handcuffs at him.
Yeah.
He was too tired to even put his handcuffs on him.
Yeah, so it was all a good episode, but of course... The thing that's weird about this, it does feel a little like filler because the main stuff is about the other family.
Right, yeah.
They're crazy.
The Bennett's is the actual story arc. So this feels a little like filler.
But it's still fun filler. It was a really good filler episode. Yeah.
And I have a feeling that somehow it's going to tie back in.
Well, the thing is, they had to have a little something for Winona. Right. Because she's not the good little girl anymore that she always portrayed herself. She had the bad husband, she had the second bad husband, and she was always the good person. Now she's as slimy as her second husband.
Yeah, stealing stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if they're ever going to deal with the ramifications of what Ava perceives as Raylan's betrayal.
Oh.
By having the fling with one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just seems that Ava went to Boyd a little... I mean, granted, some of it happened in between seasons.
Yeah, but she's not sleeping with Boyd.
She's not sleeping with Boyd. She's just living with him.
Yeah, she's trying to get Raylan jealous, too.
Yeah.
That's part of her plan. It's not working very well, but that's part of her plan. Anyway, okay. Let's move on. Mr. Sunshine.
I actually enjoyed this week.
This week's was good in that I really like the fact that we got to see a lot of Allison Janney and her... whole psychosis. We now have some like backstory on it, and we kind of understand her a little bit better.
Yeah,
and I like what they showed. I mean, and she actually has a heart underneath all that craziness.
And the fact that James Taylor was her third ex-husband.
I did not recognize him.
James Taylor did a guest spot.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Her whole thing.
James Taylor's the ex-husband.
Yeah, her whole story was. The anniversary of her third wedding always gets to her because she really loved her third husband.
He's the only one that she loved.
They were going to start a band together, but she was too much of a gold digger, so she went and left him and married the guy who owned the Sunshine Center.
Well, what's so funny about it is through half the episode, you think that he left her.
Yeah.
Because she's like, it was like the breakup was so awful and it gets to me, blah, 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 blah. And then when you finally get the full story, you realize she left him for some richer guy, but then she just regrets it.
Yeah.
And so
Matthew Perry's character.
Oh, he got his entire the whole episode was him trying to sleep with this female football player, quarterback, and he's like,
I'm trying to sleep with a quarterback. What, really? It's a woman.
And all that was pretty good. But it actually ends up having a really sweet moment between the son. What's the son's name?
Roman.
Roman and
I like the son.
Yeah, me too.
What did you like about him? I mean, this storyline was kind of about him or whatever. What'd you think?
Well, I like the son, and I like his, you know, his naivete and everything. And you know, I like the moment when the girl did she set something on fire?
She set a guy on fire.
Yeah, she set a guy on fire.
And he likes her, and then she comes in, and then, of course there's the lingerie quarterback model, mm-hmm. and she has that moment where she's like, that girl's totally into you, and like it was a nice moment. So I was like, oh, it's kind of sweet, you know, and everything. I liked all that.
Yeah, Roman is good. I do like Roman and his wide eyed. Just like you really believe that he is that naive and that sheltered.
Yeah,
right.
He's just he's just a fun character. Just like how I call him Smiley McHappy Pants, because like nothing ever really gets him down. Like even bad stuff, he's still sort of got a smile on his face. Like, yeah, that's not that bad.
That's true. Yeah, I like him. Well, he is the epitome of the sunshine thing.
Yeah.
But the other storyline with the actual quarterback and his girlfriend, the blonde, I forgot what their names are.
Yeah.
But that storyline was like, eh. It's like they're dealing with two really rich idiots, and they're trying to get them to give money. Like,
Was all right.
It was okay, but I
like those two characters.
I like the way she resolved it at the end. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, sort of pitting them against each other. It's like, no, I'm going to give more money. No, I'm going to give more money.
It just seems simple, though.
It was simple, but it was cute.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought so.
By the way, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but I got to say, I love the, I don't know what it is, but you know how at the end of every television show, there's always that little... You know, it's basically the production company that makes the show has their little animation.
Yeah.
The Mr. Sunshine one is awesome.
Oh, him on the roller coaster?
Yeah. I mean, because that is such the essence of the show. And I was just like, man, that thing is awesome. Like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So that's about it for Mr. Sunshine. Moving on to their experimental version of 30 Rock.
Or Queen of Jordan.
Queen of Jordan.
Queen of Jordan. It's my way till payday.
Like, like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. Because on payday, that means she gets more money, but then it's not her way anymore.
What?
So, it was... They did it... Having worked in reality TV, I have to say, they did do the episode exactly like a reality TV show.
Well, NBC should know how to do them.
Well, I mean, nobody...
As owners of Bravo.
Well, I'm going to say, it felt like a Bravo show with the lower thirds and all the little sparklies and everything that they did. Like, all that was pretty good. Like, but I did have to say, when I first turned it on, I realized what they were doing. I was like, this is going to be awful. But it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah. I totally sighed. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. I was ready to fast forward to get to, because I thought it was going to break out of it and to get to the regular episode.
I thought so, too. But then, like, when it came back from, like, the second commercial and it was still doing Queen of Jordan, I was like, oh, okay.
But it was good.
It was fun. I liked it.
It was fun. Yeah, it totally worked. But I agree. I was very hesitant, because I was like, I don't know if I want to see a whole show from that. I actually love the whole thing about how Jack Donaghy, at first he trips, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then it becomes this whole thing about, you know, about is he talking to .com about sports?
Yes.
Yes.
And about him being gay. You know,
No. He plays both teams.
He plays both teams, and he's on the DL.
No, he plays both sides.
And he's on the DL.
And he's on the DL.
And
to being a terrible dancer.
Yeah.
So the character of the show is like, well, there's no way he can be gay, but of course that's kind of insulting to Jack. He's just like, oh, it's on.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to have a dance-off now.
I love the lower third for that, though. Gay Jack.
Yeah. and then he's sitting on the chair at one point, stands up, and you hear a little, bleep, and he's like, it was the chair! It was the chair!
Where is Tracy Morgan for real?
Oh, you mean the actor?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He's been gone from 30 Rock for...
A couple episodes.
No, I forgot. I want to say it's a medical thing. I heard about this like a few months ago. I think there's a reason why he's gone.
Huh.
Okay.
It's not like it's a contract dispute or something like that. No.
They wouldn't be. I mean, and there were clips of him in the episode that you were either from repurposed or...
Right, it was from earlier episodes and stuff like that. I'm going to Africa. What?
The two things I didn't think worked were the thing with Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
I like Susan Sarandon, but they didn't do much with it. Well, like, I was excited when I heard Susan. I was like, "Ooh, Susan Sarandon's gonna be on. That's pretty good." But yeah, I agree. It did.
Well, she was only in like two scenes.
I thought it was wasted, though.
And they really matched her up with an actor who.
Frank, I so don't care about
him. And the Jenna stuff didn't work at all.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Jenna was just
The only thing that worked for the Jenna storyline was after the intervention, she realized that she was going to have to go to rehab.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
That was funny.
They won't air it unless I actually go.
So I thought that was actually halfway amusing, but everything to get to that point was wasted.
It was too much setup for a fairly amusing punchline.
Except her hiding in the vents was amusing.
Yeah, her hiding in the vent with the wine glass, they won't stop me drinking, was kind of funny.
But you got a comment?
No, I enjoyed it very much, and I always like Tina Fey and how it's just little points that she says, little things she says that are just so funny without having to have a laugh track. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm going to steal from her is there's a scene where someone gave her a thumbs up and it was whatever it was going badly. So instead of giving a thumbs up back, she kind of gave like she had her thumb and it just kind of wilted. So I'm totally ripping that off. That will be my new thing right now. I thought that was great.
That's a good one, yeah.
All right, next show we want to talk about is Community, and I shall sit back because I have not watched it.
I thought it was a fun episode. A little Chang goes a long way, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a little too much Chang, and I thought like the whole thing with Chang trying to put on his father hat just really creeped me out.
Yeah, the first time we see Chang dressed up, you know, with the pipe, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny and everything. Yeah. But I would agree. Also, kind of a weird episode because I'm a huge Community fan, and I've been telling you know Libya about it, and she saw like the one zombie episode that was okay, but I really loved this season. This episode was okay also because near the end of the episode there's a shot where we see like Chevy Chase. Oh, I think it's a shot at the end where they're all in their little study room.
Yeah,
and I was like, we didn't see Chevy Chase at all, and we barely saw Anna. Like, we didn't really have the whole characters, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it was really too much. This was all about Chang and what is her name? Shirley and her husband and their whole
debacle. The Britta thing was okay though.
The Britta thing was fun. And we have to
with Enver.
We have to have a dollhouse shout out because Enver was
That's the guy from you're right. Yeah, totally.
And he was funny. He was actually pretty funny. Like this guy from, where was he from? Like the Balkans or something?
I think he's supposed to be from the Balkans.
And like, and as they're playing this war game with him, and as they're playing, they start to realize like, oh God, he was.
No.
Britta figures it out because he basically just like says, oh, I used to be in military, I used to be in the army, and I used to kill babies. I love killing babies. I wish I could go back and kill more babies.
But Britta finds out, and the boys have already told her.
And this is a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
The boys tell Britta, don't speak with him because you're going to come back and tell us everything wrong about him.
You're going to tell us something horrible about him and it's not going to be the same.
Right, and of course, this one really is pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's like she finds out he committed genocide. So she's like trying to find like some sort of clandestine way for them to hate him without it being her fault. And then like they finally find out on their own that he's this genocidal maniac. And they're like, okay, when a guy is really into nipple play, keep that to yourself. If he murders entire villages, tell us that.
That is a fine distinction.
Actually, as a side, going back to 30 Rock for a second, remember we talked about the Jenna story wasn't that great, but that was pretty funny, the genocide thing.
Yes. Say it
out loud.
Genocide.
Still don't get it.
You're still not getting it. What? Genocide? I don't understand.
I think one of my favorite things about Community is Troy and Abed.
Troy and Abed are awesome.
Troy and Abed, yeah, of course.
Troy and Abed in the morning.
Yes. My friend actually has those coffee cups.
All right. Everybody count the bones shout out at the beginning of the show.
I don't watch Bones, so I didn't get any of them.
They just said, if the VCR is on channel 4, how do I watch Bones on channel 5?
Okay, well that, yeah.
Okay, we're ready.
All right, next show we want to talk about is Fringe.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Proof positive that Paula Malcolmson is great when you give her decent material.
Paula Malcolmson.
She was the guest star.
Yeah.
From Dead Woman. From
Caprica.
From Caprica. Yeah, she was good. And I have to say, Anna Torv rocked my socks this week. Someone should write down the date that I just said that.
Okay. because I don't know. Part of
3/19/11.
She was good, but at the same time, like I'm watching the episode, and I just couldn't get past. Okay, I'm watching Anna Torv doing a Leonard Nimoy impression.
Well, she was, but I have to say that the great thing about it was there's this moment where the team splits up to go do everything that they're all going to do, and she's in the room, and I go, "Where's Olivia?" Like, because I felt like Olivia was missing because they were all going off to do, and like Peter took the new agent guy and they went off and Olivia and, well, not Olivia,
Belle.
And Belle and Belle Walter.
Olivia.
Yeah.
Belle Olivia, yeah.
They stayed behind to do the research and everybody split up to do their thing. And I went, where did Olivia go? And then I was like, oh, wait. Like, I had that, I felt like Olivia was missing from the episode.
Here's, okay, that's true, yes.
Here's my question. A thought crossed me. Is the new agent guy, is that really the doppelganger, the one from over there, or could it possibly be a mole from over there?
No, really... I don't think he's a mole.
That show has me questioning everything.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that at one point too, but his reaction to them talking about souls doing, he was like, "Are you saying there's a soul vampire?" Like his reaction to that was like, "No."
Yeah, no. And I kind of like that they finally brought like our universe's version of him into the story.
Yeah, because I like him, and I hate the fact that every time you only get him when you go to the other universe. Right, I like that guy.
Yeah. Seth Gable.
Yeah. So I thought he did a good job, and so now they've opened the door to bring him in, because I think he's a really good addition.
But it looks like next episode is over there.
Which actually frustrates me, because I was like, what? Because I want to know what the heck is going on with the Bella, what did you call her? Olivia Bella?
Bella Olivia,
whatever. I want to know what the heck is going on with that, because that's actually really good right now.
Yeah. I want to know.
And I like the twist at the end. It's like now you hear any bell, and all of a sudden Olivia pops back for a second.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, and then like Bell comes out, and he's like, whoa, this is unexpected.
That was all good. Like, the whole episode was great.
Nina wasn't in this episode, was she?
No.
I was surprised that they didn't.
Oh, that's true, because she could have talked to Bell.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be the next time when he's trying to figure out what the heck is wrong.
But, okay, now that, since we have, like, Immortal Girl, who is now, I guess, actually dead, are they going to try to put Bell in her?
What Mortal Girl?
Paula Malcolmson.
Paula Malcolmson.
From Caprica.
Well, except that she's dead.
She's dead.
They killed her.
Okay.
So that I thought that that's where they were going.
They didn't kill her, she killed her.
Yeah, right. I mean, I thought that's where they were going to go with it.
I did too.
And I was like, oh, cool, she's going to be a series regular as Belle. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I thought that too. And I was like, oh, that'd be perfect because he could never die. That'll be great.
Yeah.
And no, apparently it's all destiny or something. So
I don't know. I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, I don't.
Fate, destiny. What was the third thing they called it? Or fourth thing?
I don't know.
I have no clue, but it was. It was a good episode. Anator got to be awesome.
Show off.
Yeah.
And she was doing an impersonation, but I really did think she was Belle. I mean, I really was like, I didn't think she was Olivia at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, my one little point of contention.
Mm-hmm.
Walter and Belle took way too long figuring out which train she was on.
Oh, yeah!
Because like, these guys think on like an entirely different level from humans, and it takes them like 3 minutes to figure out.
Well, it wasn't quite that long, but yeah.
But it took them a while to figure out this.
But the other thing is, they didn't have first of all, they didn't have the information that they needed to figure it out. They didn't know the speeds of the train. You need to...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't know that. And they still figured it out. I was like, no, you can't do that.
Here's my point. When they go to the apartment, there is a slip of paper with the precise information of the train.
No.
She took it.
She was holding that.
She was holding that.
I thought for sure I
saw
that.
No. I thought so too. And then I was it was a cutaway to her holding it.
She was holding it. Okay. Yeah. So, but I actually thought it was funny because I was like, oh, they're using that high school math you have to learn. Like,
word problems.
Yes. Yeah. If one train leaves at this time, blah, 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 which train will be, blah. I was like, oh, great.
Mm-hmm. It was like, it was, for them, that's a very simple problem. Like, it took you way too long to figure that out.
I hear that Fringe's ratings have actually gone up a scooch.
They're stabilizing on Fridays. Yeah.
Except for this week. They just got the ratings for this week, and they're down. They're a series low.
Aww.
Yes. But other than that, yes, they have been very high.
Yes, because it's nice not to hear Eugene screaming and yelling at the end about how Fox cancels everything that's good.
In the death slot.
Yeah.
Well, but they think that the reason that the ratings were low was because of basketball.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sunspots.
Supermoon. It's all the Supermoon's fault.
It's interesting. This entire week, every time I've listened to anything on the radio, they've been blaming everything on March Madness.
Yes.
I know.
Everything.
I know.
Well, let's move on to the last show we're going to talk about, which is Being Human, US and UK. We're going to combine it.
Yay.
Yay.
For UK.
Let's talk about UK first. Because that's the one I watched.
Yeah. I wish they didn't censor it. That really.
What are you talking about?
In terms of words and.
The version I watched is not censored.
Well, those of us who watch it legally.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But this week's episode was Herrick's return, and the only thing I have to say is I feel like I was watching this, I was like, wait a minute, this is True Blood. Well, they haven't done it yet, but it's in the books,
yeah.
Which is... You have the
is that going to be a spoiler alert. For people who haven't seen it on True Blood yet?
Well, I have to talk about the episode now.
Okay. Well, they did show one clip from the new season, and they pretty much are going to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've shown it. Basically, Herrick comes back, and he has no memory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So they you think at first he's crazy. she just got it.
They're
going to
do that on True Blood?
Yeah.
Yes! Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry about that squee. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You'll get the squee in about 3 months. I'm sorry.
Anyway, no, so basically, Herrick comes back and he's got no memory and he's sort of crazy.
That's what I heard.
And he's scratching at the walls. He's being all bizarre, and he really doesn't know that he's a vampire. And all that's like at first you're thinking, is he faking it? But I mean, he's really far gone to be faking it.
Like,
the only thing is, he went from being crazy and scratching at the walls to being a rational person by the end of the episode.
Yeah,
that was weird.
And like the one sycophant vampire who was like feeding him her blood to try to get him to remember, like he basically just like talked her into killing herself in like one speech.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then you realize, not only is he not crazy, even though he has no memory, he's a freaking sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, he is crazy.
He's freaking Herrick.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the crazy thing is, like, now that we have this new Herrick, I actually like him a lot better
than
old Herrick.
I do, too. Because this Herrick... Because the other one seemed slimy and very self-aware that he was evil.
Yeah.
He was like, I am the most evil man in the universe.
Wow. This one, like, you sort of feel like this is no-frills Herrick. Like, this is Herrick unplugged.
Yeah, he basically... His apparent mission... He wants to destroy them all, but... For no reason other than he's a sociopath. He has no other motivation. And I like the fact that Annie figured it out very quickly. She was like, oh, you're evil. Okay.
Yeah.
So she worked that out. That was all good.
Yeah.
But now, of course, they can't kill him because George put the ultimatum down. If you kill him, then I'm going to erase you from my life. That was a good speech, though.
Yeah, it was a good speech. And, of course, you have Mitchell terrified of this wolf-shaped bullet. And who is the wolf who's going to kill him?
It's
going to
be Nina. I think it's going to be Nina now. Because she found the big secret.
I'm not saying a damn word.
Oh, that's right. You finished the season. Shh. But Nina knows about the Boxcar Massacre. And that's the first one of them that's going to find out. And it made her so ill that she just like threw up all over the place. Which is, other than visually disgusting... Really,
an appropriate reaction.
It was an appropriate reaction, and she's staring at Mitchell, and I think he's starting to maybe get a clue why she's freaking out around him.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, play it cool, but
this is Nina.
It's true, but I don't know how I would react if I found out I was living with someone who mass murdered a lot of people. That
genocidal maniac.
That would freak me
out. There's a lot of genocide this week.
Yes. But it was
March Madness.
It was a good episode. Excuse me. It was a good episode, and I thought that. What is there any other storylines that were going on? The social worker. Oh my god, I felt so bad for her.
Oh god, that poor woman.
I felt so bad for her because they totally did not help her out at all.
No.
And they just like made her life worse. It was so bad.
But you know, like, I have to give it up to Nina because like she really sort of turned the tables on her.
Yeah, but like, I mean, she was already weak.
She was weak, and then when she goes out to her car and Annie follows her out to the car and she's in the car and just starts sobbing, like uncontrollably sobbing. I was like, oh god, you poor woman.
Well, there was this moment where everyone is in different rooms in the house and she's all by herself and she starts wandering around the house and I'm like, get out of the house, there are monsters.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you've got the sycophant vampire downstairs in the basement, you got Herrick upstairs, you got like, it was just like too many monsters
got,
in that house.
You got wild card Mitchell.
Yeah, you guys, like, there are too many monsters in the house. I was like, get out. So I was actually feeling a lot for her, so I was, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I've seen her from something else, I don't remember what. But anyway, overall, good episode. The preview for next week, looks really good, because everything looks like it's all coming together, because we're on episode 6. There's how many episodes
are there? How many episodes in the season?
8? I want to say 8.
Yeah, so everything is starting to come together, and it's so dark this season. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so now that's UK, US?
Well, okay, you go first and talk about
how you did. You haven't seen the newest one, though.
Yeah, evidently my U-verse DVR malfunctioned. But okay. I've just been disappointed in the US. It's not cast as well, it's not written as well, and they stole far too much from UK. I mean,
well, the first 6-7 episodes was just a straight Xerox copy of Xerox the UK. Copy,
yeah.
But this week, like, I've been keeping up with it mostly for my friends who have given up on it, who are just waiting for me to give them the go ahead to say, okay,
come back in the pool.
It's finally turned the corner. It's okay to watch now. And I feel like this week I can say that.
Well, my cousin called me and was like, oh my God, this week the episode was good. And I was like, yeah. And then just like told me plot for plot. And I was like, that sounds really good.
It really was good.
I was like okay. I want to download this
one. It was an expansion of, the UK version of the pedophile story, where like Aiden in this befriends this little neighborhood kid and things are going well, and then the mother freaks out and thinks he's a pedophile and doesn't want him to have anything to do with the kid anymore. And so this episode starts with the kid again being bullied. And Aiden is just sort of watching from a window because he doesn't want to get involved anymore because the mother is freaked out by him. So he's trying to give him his distance. And the kid basically runs away from the bullies, out into the street, gets hit by a car, and gets killed.
Right.
And so then the other vampire who is obsessed with Aiden is really... she's trying to find some way to bring them together. So against Aiden's approval, she finds the kid and turns him.
Right.
And then brings the kid back. And so now they're like this vampire family. And Aiden has like this conversation with Bishop where Bishop is like, you don't turn kids. And we have this whole incident where the two bullies are found dead with tiny fang marks in their necks. So they think that the kid did this. And so Aiden has to take the kid out into the woods and he stakes him. He kills the child.
Right.
And then we find out at the very end that the two dead bullies was actually staged by Bishop and his second in command, Marcus, I think.
To force him to kill the kid.
To force him to kill the kid. And I was like, wow, that was evil.
And dark. I was like, they're killing children. They killed the kid twice.
Yeah,
on the show.
They killed the kid twice in one episode. And
that's impressive.
And yeah, like this was the episode I feel like it's really finally turned the corner and become good in its own right.
Yeah, that impressed me right there because I was like,
good or just watchable?
I'd say good.
Yeah, that sounds like that story. That sounds pretty good. Like I now want to see that episode.
Yeah,
you know, let's see how next week goes because you know it's still sci-fi. Excuse me, it's still
siffy,
which rhymes with iffy.
I would like to see where it goes because like I feel like it's been sort of building towards something good. And this week we finally start seeing the good side of this because it is still, to a lesser degree, run by Toby Woodhouse, who does the UK one.
He just collects a paycheck.
He works on it somewhat.
What I find interesting is that the commercial that they've had now for the last 2 years, you know, sci-fi, imagine greater, mm-hmm. and I always end up saying BBC. BBC. It just comes out of my mouth. It's in my brain. BBC right away.
BBC yeah. is the better version
oh,
of it.
Oh, it's yeah. much, much. Imagine greater. Yeah, BBC. And here we have sci-fi.
Imagine British.
Taking BBC stuff and then trying to Americanize it as their last great hope for anything.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Any last comments? Thoughts?
Nope.
I'll throw one thing out. We never talked about the show, and this Sunday is the last one. 5 seasons, Big Love. For all of you who didn't watch it, because it's not your fault they're canceling it. It's not the ratings. Go and get the DVDs, go on Netflix, whatever it takes, and go watch Big Love. It was the most fantastic show you didn't watch. Because
that's what everybody
none of you
says.
Wanted to talk about it.
It was wonderful, and it's actually ended really well.
I heard that this last arc has self-corrected some of the problems that they had with the previous years.
Oh, absolutely, and it all clicked together. Last week was amazing. This will be the cleanup episode, and it's just big love, guys. Go out there and go watch it.
I'm going to have to check it out. I never really got into it.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it killed me because it would be like a year and a half in between. It just...
Yeah. Yeah, there were very long breaks between seasons.
All right. That's it. If you want to send some feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire, and we're on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.